This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
What? Well, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom. And, you know, we're 99 episodes in at this point, so I'm assuming you know that. But as usual, I've got my very good friend here on the other side of the country. Well, halfway across country for me. But, Will, how are you this evening, my friend?
I'm all right, Tom. 99, huh? So it means the next episode is Episode 100.
Yeah.
God damn.
And as of right now, we're not doing shit for 100, but yeah, that may change.
I can't believe there's still people listening.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful for everyone that does, so. You know, I think we're entertaining, so. Well, I know we're entertaining, so I'm glad other people
think so. I'm glad they think so, right?
Yeah, it's all it really matters, so.
You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of great podcasts out there, especially on Visionaries Global Media and the Shining Wizards Network.
Good plug, Will.
So, you know, goddamn. People find time to listen to us ramble and blabber about a bunch of pop culture stuff and occasionally some Ring of Honor wrestling.
Yeah. Well, this episode, I think, is going to be a little bit more Ring of Honor wrestling than the last couple have been.
Well, it's because we actually have something new to talk about.
Yeah, and we're recording at our usual time, for at least this week, until I fucked that up next week again. But we will get back on our regular recording studio, or recording time, everybody. But Will,
we're here. We're live. We're in Technicolor. We got drinks. We got snacks.
Yeah, we got wives, we got cats. That kind of
we rocks. Do.
You know, we got some comic books, got some good tales to tell. But, yeah, and don't let me forget to do all the plugs in the middle of the show, too. I've been forgetting that the past couple of weeks. But, Will, looks like we've got a couple questions of Dishonor this week. Do you have them up? I probably should have asked you that in pre-production, but...
No, that reminds me. I should pull up the audio that I've been forgetting to have up and ready to go. So let's start with Eric Freed's Nattering with E. I think, has his show started back up?
Well, he is recording an episode of The Punisher with yours truly this coming Sunday, which hopefully is dropping sometime next week. Unfortunately, I should have probably told Eric this before I put this out in the world. I don't have my DVD player, so it won't be quite the in-depth analysis that I'd like to have. But I think I'll be able to contribute. Will, do you have any quick thoughts on the 2004 edition of The Punisher?
I'd like to revisit it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Will Patton in it is really good.
After we talked about it, for sure it was on air, and I talked about the soundtrack. I sent you and Brendan the link to The Punisher. Did you listen to it?
Oh, is that wait? Did
I did. I still stand by the fact. One of my favorite soundtracks of all time. Hits front to back. Seether, Hatebreed, Puddle of Mud. Kane's entrance theme.
How did I miss this?
But Freeds wants to know if Bam Bam Bigelow was in 2013 Ring of Honor, what faction would he be aligned with?
This is a really good question. Oh, I didn't even pull this up. Yeah, and I'd be interesting. So, Freeds, make sure you follow up with this question. It was kind of interesting what brought on this question from Bam Bam Bigelow, besides him being a bad motherfucker. But you don't know much about Bam Bam Bigelow, just kind of like the whole Bound to Violence is on this fucking thing from fucking Hatebreed? That's a dope track.
That was my first Hatebreed song I ever heard. Little Will in middle school was blown away.
Yeah, it was definitely not my first one, but...
I mean, you're also a little older than I am, so...
Yeah.
I also didn't really grow up in a place that had... There's no burgeoning hardcore scene in northwestern Vermont.
No.
So, I know Bam Bam Bigelow. I know he's the Beast from the East. I know what Schlack told me in their song about Bam Bam Bigelow.
Nice pull, Will. I love that.
I know he gets beat up in the movie Major Payne. He's the biker that shows up, that the kids try to get him to beat up Major Payne, but Major Payne drops him.
Yeah.
And I also know he's the one that, like, Taz suplexed him through part of the stage or something, right?
Through the ring. Yeah, it was the original spot.
And he was a playable character in my first ever wrestling video game I had.
That's cool. So
it was for the Super Nintendo. I never remember what game it actually was. But I usually tell people it had Luna Vachon in it, and they're like, oh, it's this one. I'm like, okay, but I never remember which one it is.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not going to claim to be a Bam Bam.
He's a big... he was an agile guy, though, right? He did some.
He was.
I don't want to say he was like a high flyer, but he would bust out like a move like that every now and then.
And he'd do. I mean, he would do cartwheels in the ring and shit like that. I mean,
yeah.
He'd do handsprings, the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, he was. You know, people. You know, use this term a lot, but he was really the first big guy like that to be that fucking agile. And you look at the fucking guy. And you're like, you would not think that he'd be that agile. Like, not even just like size wise. I mean, he's got flames tattooed on the side of his fucking head.
Correct.
And I'm not gonna sit here and claim to be a Bam Bam Bigelow expert by any means. I know per for I should probably dig into Bam Bam Bigelow, so that's kind of why I'm kind of curious what brought this question on. What stable? I mean, Ring of Honor's not really.
It's not super stable heavy right now.
No. You know, I mean, it's basically, I mean, Scum's been disbanded, and then there's the House of Truth. Well, shit, in the House of Truth's just Matt fucking Taven right now.
And the Hotties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, let's create our own fucking stable.
You want to build a stable around Bam Bam Bigelow?
Yeah, I mean,
who? So, are we building a face or a heel stable?
Has Ring of Honor even really ever had a face stable? I mean, Bullet Club, kind of, but...
You know, that's a good question, too. I mean, Mexa Squad was...
Yeah.
Was a baby face stable. I mean, that's much later on.
Yeah. What was that ill-fated stable that lasted for a day and a half? Was it the New Blood or whatever? It was some great talent.
Tracy Williams and, like, CJ Parker and, like...
You should see
James Gresham Parker. And
Mark Haskins.
Did not last very long.
No. Well, I mean, so you could definitely call Gresham and his boys. Oh my God, why am I spacing their fucking stable, Will?
The foundation?
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, they were definitely faces, but yeah, usually it's
were they? They kind of were on the between line too. Mostly face because people liked them, but like they were kind of antagonistic.
Very arrogant. Yeah, with their pure rules.
Would you consider the Kingdom a faction? Are the kingdoms is the Kingdom a face faction now?
Well, I mean, they're a face faction now. Yeah, I was actually thinking about like. Yeah, you could. I mean, spoiler alert: the original OG kingdom will be forming here shortly. You know, it'd be cool to have him as the eater. But whatever stable it's gonna be, it's gotta be Steve Corino heading it with fucking Bam Bam Bigelow. They're gonna be heel.
You kind of pull like on the ECW like memory. You bring Rhino back in it too. Carino, Rhino, Bam Bam.
I don't know if Rhino works because you got two big guys like that then. I say you flip to Darius Thomas, he's a bad guy. You got Adam Cole, because obviously Steve Corino loves Adam Cole.
Loves Adam Cole. Bebe.
Yeah, and I say, fuck it, bring in Mike Mondo. Mike Mondo's been looked over, he's been passed over, you know. Yeah, so I'm saying Steve Corino had this, but you got Bam Bam, you got Tadarius Thomas, Adam Cole, and Mike Mondo. That's my stable, Will.
Sounds good. I mean, that works for me. I don't really know enough about Bam Bam to know, like, even a direction to go in other than he's, like, a big guy.
Yeah, that can move, like, legit.
So, I mean, I'll levy, just because I don't know shit about him, I'll say let's do Bam Bam, Elgin, and Steen.
Oh, Jesus.
Big bastards.
Yeah. That would definitely be the big men's slap and meat stable. Goddamn, Elgin and fucking Bigelow. That's a good call. They'd be a great fucking tag team. Because Elgin's definitely of that ilk. Well, Elgin's just fucking strong.
He's a strong boy.
Yeah, there's no denying that. Allegedly. So yeah. But yeah, Freaks, make sure you tweet us. Let us know what brought on the sudden Bam Bam Bigelow fandom. So hopefully you suffice for the question. But we have one from our good friend Mr. UTT Rob. And Rob, hopefully we're getting you on here sooner than later. I should probably DM you and not throw that over the airwaves, but
we did. So Rob at UTT Rob on the Twitter.
18 million people watched that match, Will. 18 million.
A lot of fucking people.
Between Big Daddy.
There's not that many people watching Ring of Honor.
No, I bet you they probably don't get that many all year. My wife's got a really random version of For Whom the Bell Tolls playing on her, whatever she's watching in the room right now. Sorry. Sorry.
So Rob says, as Transformers were mentioned on episode 98, if three Ring of Honor 2013 wrestlers transformed into Soundwave's cassette tapes, what wrestlers would they be and what would be on the tapes? So I misread his question when I was thinking about it. And I thought it was saying if they were like Soundwave and had the cassette tapes. And I came up with a couple different answers. So I'll answer Rob's question incorrectly. My first thought was Steve Corino was the sound wave, and he shoots out three blank cassettes, and they're Rhett Titus, Cliff Compton, and the Havoc, the guy who never showed up again after that first time.
Jimmy Rave.
And yeah. They would just be blank cassette tapes.
That's funny. I like where you went with that.
My other thought was Martini.
Yep.
And having the House of Truth all roll out as cassette tapes. You have like Scarlet could be a Warrant's Cherry Pie, the single edition.
Wow.
You know, some sleazy glam rock shit like.
See, I was gonna go Truth Martini with some just crazy fucking sleazy like Ukrainian techno or whatever, you know. Nor is he Albanian? I think he's Albanian.
So System of a Down.
Yeah. I like the blank tapes. I'm gonna say Roderick Strong is a tape. And he's definitely got a mix of mid-90s metalcore going on for him, for sure. You know, not necessarily my cup of tea, but we'll throw in some Hatebreed, even though they're definitely not metalcore, but as we were just referencing them.
I mean...
No.
Metal and hardcore.
No.
It depends on what you want to consider... Right, what do you consider to be metalcore? Because, I mean, by definition, Hatebreed, you could say, is a metalcore band, like Integrity, where they're hardcore with metal elements and whatever have you. But it's not like the melodic metalcore stuff, like your Killswitch Engage and your the bands of that ilk. Yeah. I'm waiting. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I can't believe Bound of Violence is on that fucking soundtrack.
Everybody should pause this, go to YouTube, listen to the Punisher movie soundtrack, and then come back. Tom, are those Speedball Mike Bailey glasses?
No, they're Milwaukee Brewers.
See, I was reading too deep. I could see that they're clearly baseball gloves, but I was.
Yeah, but they're actually double as bottle openers.
Course they do.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we're in Milwaukee, so I stole these from somewhere. I don't remember where I stole them from. All right, now I need a hip hop tape. I'm gonna go with the Bravado Brothers.
Ooh.
I know they haven't been on Ring of Honor 2013 nearly as much as we'd like. But their fucking entrance is some fucking crazy.
And they're twins. You get little side A, side B action.
Yeah. They got that crazy. Or
side C and side D if you've got a big cassette.
Wow. Going way back. Yeah, I'm going with the Bravado Brothers. You know, their entrance was definitely very, you know, it's that crazy, dirty, down south hip hop. You know, I didn't want to go with the obvious with, you know, CNC or Adrenaline Rush. That's a little too on the nose. So, yeah, I'm going to say the Bravado Brothers. Busting out a little Bubba Sparks, a little Little John. Maybe a little bit of Ghetto Boys, too. I know they're from Houston. They're technically not down south. But, yeah, I got the Bravado Brothers. Side A, side B. Have they made an appearance in 2013?
Earlier in the year they did.
Okay. When we had hope. I really hope they come back. I don't want to look and see, but yeah, Will, you got any more?
No, I was pretty content with my answers, and I appreciated I appreciate the Rob's questions. Have become like kind of in reference to the conversation had last week.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Also enjoyable because the other night I fell asleep watching the Transformers movie, the old 1986 one.
Oh, shit, nice.
I wasn't quite ready for bed. I pulled it up, and apparently I was ready for bed.
I saw that in the movie theater. And I think that might be one of the first times I was disappointed in a movie, I kind of remember.
Soundtrack rules.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's like all that 80s shred glam stuff.
Nice. Yeah, but I really enjoyed your Optimus Prime themed tweet from the Ring of Honor Revelry the other day.
Daniel Warren, the page before that, he hit Starscream with a Rainmaker.
No shit. God, I gotta get caught up on that too. So I wonder if my comic book shop will order that for me. If not, I can always go to the bookstore. So
order what?
That Daniel Warren Johnson, his Transformer series.
That's new, so they probably have it.
Okay. So, yeah.
You'd have two issues out right now, so.
Yeah, Sunday night. So, once again, the fucking goddamn, well, speaking of timely, the goddamn racing sausages fuck me at work again, Will. Yeah, the one thing I needed out of that fucking warehouse is buried behind them fucking goddamn fucking racing sausages. So, but yep, well, like Will said, thanks to Rob. You know, make sure you check out all the great content. Listen, him and Dan are currently going over all the lead up to the Giant Hashtags versus Big Daddy at Wembley Stadium, 1981. This week's episode contained a couple of Kendo Nakasaki matches. So. Some pretty crazy shit, Will. It's a hell of a build. I mean, to put, you know, 18 million viewers on it, so. I wonder how many people were at the match. I'm sure we'll find out, so. But, Will, I should talk about pre-production, but do you want me to do a quick TV review here? Or do you want to jump right into the event?
Are we not doing Brundon's question of dishonor?
Jesus fucking Christ, really, Tom? Sorry, Brundon. And I've been thinking about this too, because this fucking answer knocked me in the fucking balls a little bit.
All right, this was a good question.
Was that coming
so? Brundon's question. We're approaching the end of 2013. Who's been the biggest disappointment of the year? Either underused or underperforming.
And he hit us right in the feels with his answer.
Brundon said Jay Briscoe. Jay Briscoe getting hurt. Brundon was extremely hyped for the title reign and thought he was going to do great things and have the belt for a long period of time, but it was cut short due to the shoulder injury.
He tried to get it out.
So we'll never know what that story could have been.
Nope. We will never, ever know what a long, dominant Jay Briscoe title reign will ever be.
Well, it was the first one, too. I mean,
yeah. Well, and listen, and shout out to Brennan too for keeping it in that 2013 mindset. So I'm not going to talk anymore here. If you know, you know.
Because it's interesting to think about too, right? Because like what we're seeing right now,
yeah,
is you've got Adam Cole's champ, Jay Briscoe, Kevin Steen, and Elgin are all like on the fringes. So like, how does that change if Adam Cole was not like? Would there be so many other people involved, or would it have been more of like a Jay Briscoe, Adam Cole story?
Yeah.
Or would they have gone on the Elgin route and then maybe gone with Adam Cole after that?
Yeah, it was, you know, not to break down the fourth wall too, but I know Jay Briscoe was very, very adamant about putting the belt on Cole. He said he was the guy. And not many other people believed him, but.
I mean, Tom, even in 2020, there were people not thinking Adam Cole was the guy. Adam Cole moves the needle. He also moves the bones in his ankle, and he needs to stop that.
Yeah, he really needs to stop that. So, God, what was their plans? Who was he going to manage? Do you remember the reports are saying when he was going to get called up to the main roster, he's gonna have him manage somebody, right?
He was going to be a manager. They wanted to like shave his head and stuff like that.
Wouldn't it have been funny if he had managed Karrion Kross?
Oof.
That might have been a little bit on the nose, but. Well, Will, you know what makes our podcast special? We press the fucking button. That's kind of an Adam Cole paraphrasing there. Goddamn, I listen, when Brendan first sent this to us, I did not. This was the furthest thing from my mind. I don't know about you. But he, I mean, he's spot on. I mean, he's really right. You know, because Jay Briscoe, you know, winning the title is probably the moment of the year, 2013. You know, maybe not the best match, but definitely the moment.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's like I kind of touched upon it when Freed's asked about like if we could have gone to any 2013 Ring of Honor show. And a lot of it's kind of felt underwhelming. I feel like there's a lot of guys, you could say even more gals, right? Because we haven't seen a whole lot of Women of Honor.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of guys like really, what has Ciampa gotten accomplished in 2013? Not a whole lot. Elgin was kind of primed to do a lot, but he really hasn't done a whole lot. Bennett, they're kind of getting there with stuff, but again, not really making a whole lot of progress. Yeah. I was kind of hoping we'd see a little more of Matt Taven kind of working more in the pushing out to kind of stand out beyond Truth Martini. And we haven't really got that much more of that either. It's like they have one story that's running and everything else kind of goes on pause rather than having all these other stories like keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I think between, you know, scum flopping, I bet you they probably thought they were going to get a lot more mileage out of that. I'm glad they stopped it when they did. But obviously, and like, obviously the aforementioned Jay Briscoe, you know, injury, you know, you had to throw on this very interesting tournament that they did, but. All right, besides the obvious, Jay Briscoe's injury, Will, you got anything? Or just really the lack of general direction in general.
I think it's, I mean, you can pull a name out of the hat, right, and say this guy wasn't used as much as they could have been. I mean, I just feel like there's people who are primed to kind of be working towards that top of the card level. And they're all just kind of like meandering around while there's this other story going on.
Right.
And it's been like that for the last couple storylines. Like, we're at it now. During the Scum storyline, a lot of stuff just kind of took the back seat and just kind of like meandered around. It just feels like they're stalling a lot. Like, they're buying time or just kind of like,
you know, the two things. I'm sorry, what's that?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, the two things that stick out. One, obviously, you know, a drastic difference from 2012. You know, obviously, Mike Mondo not recovering from his injury as quickly. They definitely feel like they've forgotten about him. You know, obviously, we were big Mondo heads here for a fan, you know, so he's definitely kind of worn out his welcome, but. Them not pulling the trigger on CNC Wrestle Factory, I just, full disclosure, I don't know whether or not they ever do, you know, but they just, they keep kind of teasing it, but they kind of keep fucking them, you know, they really deserve to have the titles. I really thought when they were doing the flippity floppity of the titles there last month, when Bobby Fish couldn't go to Canada, you know, KFC&C the belts, but really the tag team division in general. Yes, Red Dragon's been great. Don't get me wrong. Seeing the Forever Hooligans was a nice little freshness, you know, and the Wolves coming back together was kind of good. But, you know, you got Adrenaline Rush, CNC. I mean, you know, they talk all this bullshit about, oh, we're really focusing on the tag team division. Well, the aforementioned Bravado Brothers, I don't know if they were just staying in Japan or what the fuck was going on. But, you know, I was hoping we'd see more of the Young Bucks. You know, the year's still young. But, yeah, I just say that the tag team, and don't get me wrong, I said, I mean, I do love Red Dragon as a tag team. Those guys are a lot of fucking fun. Great in the fucking ring, and Bobby Fish really is an entertaining motherfucker. He really, really is. But yeah, just not giving CNC the belt unless, honestly, I don't know, and I don't think they ever will. So, yeah. Yeah, Brendan really kind of nailed it on the head there with Jay Briscoe. I for some odd reason, didn't even occur to me. So, I didn't even think he had one or two title defenses, right?
Who?
Jay Briscoe? Before the injury was too much?
Oh, yeah, he didn't have a ton of defenses, right? He wrestled.
He beat Cole.
But. He beat Cole. He beat. I mean, he beat Steen to get the belt.
Well, yeah, but I mean, after he got the belt, so. You know, but I guess we will see what the future holds, so. But make sure everyone's following all of our questions of Dishonor. I know SJ didn't get one in. I know she's out. Her and her husband are watching Kiss right now as we record this. But shout out to SJ as always. And, but yeah, shout out to Freeds. Thank you again for the question, Dishonor. Make sure you're following Mr. Freeds there on the Twitter machine and also catching new episodes of Nattering with E, not just because I'll be on there. And just make sure all you're catching all the content, you know, that UTT Rob and over Mr. Dan Griffin do over there, you know, with them on booking the territory. So, and obviously follow the Irish Misfit. Are you know, pretty much the third member of the Triumvirate. But Will, before I forget anything else, is there anything else you want to get into before you dive in? Before I dive into TV real quick.
So kind of, just to, I guess, to make a solid choice. My first thought was Matt Taven. And recently, we had the thing where Truth Martini's made every match he has is for the belt. And that doesn't really feel like it's been a big deal, especially not when you're going into like the live event where it's like, oh, we're going to have a four corner survival match or whatever, or, you know, whatever they call it.
Right.
To decide on a contender. It's like anybody who has a match with them gets a title shot by default. So it's like they could be using this as a bigger thing to push Taven more. But it really isn't. I don't think it's elevated him at all. I don't think it's. It hasn't made that TV title feel more important.
Hmm. See, I was thinking the opposite. I mean, not necessarily the opposite, but I don't know. I've kind of enjoyed it a little bit, but. You know, now he's defending the TV title on non-TV events, which I think is funny, but, you know. I do like the explanation of it. They're, at least with that, they're not doing it for, you know, to say, hey, he's just going to defend a TV title. You know, at least they have a little bit of a story of truth. Like, well, you know, he only shows up for big matches, so. And I think he's about to be the longest reigning TV champion.
He's on the cusp as of what we're watching, yeah.
Yeah. You know, which will be. Eventually be broken, ultimately, by Samoa Joe. Oh, wait, he's going to break the record, and then he's just going to fucking get rid of the title so he can face someone else in another promotion. Because, like, our good friend, Mr. Matt Bowman, over at the fucking Wizards. He couldn't put over 6 million other fucking people that deserved it. No, the guy just relinquished the title. Fuck right off.
Could have.
But no. Definitely not my Ring of Honor, and I would be hard-pressed. I don't even think I'm going to watch Final Battle, even though I'm paying for this fucking Honor Club. And I do like the Honor Club for what we're doing, obviously. But, I mean, other than that, why would you buy this? But we'll save that content for our Patreon when we get our Patreon up and running. Just kidding. I don't think we'll ever do a Patreon. Unless you want to, Will.
That's something to discuss once we... I feel like we would actually have to have something that we can offer.
Yeah. You know what we need, Will, is I got to reach out to some more of my people, too. But if you got any people, we need a theme song.
I can sniff around. I know some people.
I will definitely pay for it. They will always get credit. Yeah.
I know a couple of musicians here and there around these parts, you know?
Yeah.
Just get your boy Jimmy Josta to do it for us.
I haven't talked to him in a while, you know? You know, maybe one, after my car's paid off, I'll have a couple, you know, lots of $1,000s, but... Yeah, I've reached out to a couple people, but I've been kind of no-sold, so I got a couple other people. But yeah, if you know anybody, Will. I will pay, or anybody that's listening. We definitely kind of want a Roderick Strong kind of vibe, I'm assuming.
I'd be down for whatever. I mean, it could be a shredding banjo, you know, and like, hey, Ring of Honor Riffler, here it is.
Yeah, well, my laptop here, my other one, not the one we're recording this on, which I would hope not, because the one we're recording is less than 2 years old. I just got the blue screen of death, so I'm just hoping this thing reboots.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, this thing is 17 years old, so. The nice thing about it is, though, it hasn't been hooked up to the internet in years, so. But yeah, I will go over TV real quick. Obviously, as everyone's been talking, you know, if you've been listening to the show, this is the main event for Glory by Honor, the Champions versus All Stars. So, if you want a fuller review, obviously Will and I just went over that. But 3 weeks ago, well, since both our timelines all fucked up with the way we've been recording, it was like a month and a half ago. But I'm just pulling up here. This is really embarrassing. Sorry, Will. My memory's not nearly as good as yours, so I just can't do this shit off the cuff. But listen, a couple of new things I do want to shout out. I really actually did enjoy. They did compress the whole match. So Will and I were a little nervous that they were just going to pull, you know, what you say, what the cliffhanger will. Like, oh, yeah.
Right. We hemmed and hawed if they were going to actually show the end or if that's how they were going to get people to give out their shekels.
And
like, you didn't have to buy Glory by Honor. You can just watch it for free.
Yeah. You know, unless it's good internationally, you know, like Rob said, they did, you know, Ring of Honor was dog shit, you know, for like the pay-per-views and stuff like that, so they could only watch on TV, but Jay Lethal, oh, I forgot, Jay Lethal is also wearing a World Series of Poker shirt. Wow, this thing is taking fucking forever to load up. Yeah, listen, basically, listen, I mean, you go back, I mean, there was a lot, they did a great job, they didn't really miss anything. We got all the stuff with Outlaw Inc., we got all the eliminations, you know, we got Jay Lethal taking a 20-minute break after he got kicked off the thing. I really liked the Future Shock moment, Will, I don't know if you remember that or not, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole got back in the ring together. And then just Bobby Fish's just utter disdain for that moment. Yeah, and on TV, though, Kevin Steen did cut a promo here talking about, you know, Bennett's done his job. He was successful in getting under the skin of the person who really likes to get under people's skin. I really like that. But I think we're kind of definitely going towards a stretcher match here. So I guess we'll find out. But, you know, and then we were talking about in pre-production, Michael Elgin actually does eliminate Kyle O'Reilly with a Rainmaker, as referred to by Steve Corino. But I think the big thing here is obviously Adam Cole eliminates everybody but Michael Elgin. And then Michael Elgin eliminates everybody from the champion side. I think really, obviously, Will, the big question is here, you know, rewatching that ending, he fucking, I mean, as we'll find out here in our TV event, Adam Cole's fucking knocked the fuck out. His head caught all that fucking second net row powerbomb. I don't know why they pulled the reverse like that. But then Jay Briscoe, the aforementioned Jay Briscoe, comes in and beats up, and he's got the real title belt. So, yeah. Is there anything kind of looking back, Will, that you reflecting on this main event? You know, they condensed it, you know, a 75-minute match into about 38 minutes. They were advertising that you could buy the full 75-minute match on whatever Ring of Honor Wrestling TV. So they gave away the time limit, which really kind of irked me, but I've been talking much there, Will. You got anything that we didn't discuss last time?
No, I mean, it's kind of a bummer. You can trim out like half the length of a match, and you're like, no, they got all the stuff you needed. It's like, so what was the other? What was all that half hour then?
Yeah. But listen, it's good for TV. They cut it well for TV, so I will give them credit for that. But Will. Actually, we forgot to do that. Before we jump into the Golden Dream here from Cincinnati, Ohio, for those that are geographically challenged, from November 2nd, 2013, why don't we take a quick commercial break here, plug all our friends, but like Will said earlier, make sure you listen to all the great shows here on Visionaries Global Media. Good Cop, Bad Cop is definitely back. We've got a new episode of Phoenix Splash Podcast dropped today. You know, view from the goalpost, Chad and Diesel are up and running full speed. Your boy here, High Five Tom, just did a Midwestern Wrestling Roundup with Ref Jerry. But Will, did I tell you how many matches are within 6 hours of me this weekend?
It was
23.
It was, what was it? 23. I was going to go into like the hundreds, which, I mean, if you break down all those cards.
And it's definitely hundreds of matches. Yeah, probably 150, but yeah, it's crazy to think. Yeah, 23, you know. So Midwest Wrestling is back in full force. But obviously, I banned from ringside. Make sure you're checking out Zach, JCB, and MJCB, former guest of the show. And Zach, and am I missing anybody, Will, on for Visionaries Global Media? I don't think so.
I feel like you got everybody because usually you just forget the shows that you're actually
on. No, yeah. I know Dungeons and Junkies is slowly come back in, and Chris Talks Games are both back on too. So, but yeah, make sure you enjoy all these great shows here from the Shining Wizards Network also, and we'll catch everybody on the other side of the break.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, well, we're back. Let's make sure you enjoy all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast Network. But Will, you really enjoyed the show, huh?
I sure did. I thought, you know, when I first started watching it, was it last week? Because I was afraid we needed to have it ready for last week. You know, it started out, I feel like, a little slow. I'm like, oh, you know, it's a live event, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I think it really turned around in that back half.
Yeah.
Some really good stuff.
We'll get into it. Yeah, the first two matches were good, but it's kind of like, why? But we had a fun promo. We started off with Nigel and Jay Briscoe in the ring. And Jay's got his real Ring of Honor title. Kudos. I mean, those belts aren't cheap. Looks good. You know, but, you know, Jay, you know, kind of accosts Nigel for being so cautious with his injury. But then Michael Elgin comes out, says words, you know, and thanks Jay for saying that he earned his title shot. But after he beats Cole at Final Battle, he'll give Jay his shot. Then Steen comes out talking shit. Another great Kevin Steen promo. It's been good to see. We're seeing more of Kevin Steen here. But he's talking shit about Jay's belt. Then he picks on Michael Elgin's mullet. And he's just saying, are they all delirious? But at the end, Nigel says the final battle, main event, stays Cole and Elgin. But whoever wins the main event tonight between Steen and Jay will be the third par participant. How do you feel about a three-way for your main event for your biggest show of the year?
I mean, I don't mind it if that's the plan from the get-go. But it's obviously not.
Okay.
And yeah. Later on, commentary is like, oh, Elgin doesn't seem happy. It's like, well, no shit, he doesn't seem happy.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to get my one-on-one title shot. I'm going to get some comeuppance. And then you're told, oh, there's going to be a third guy there, too. Don't worry. He's just there to watch.
You know, and I do not know the result of this match. I'll be 100% honest with you. I'm positive I know one participant does not win, but I'm not sure which of the other two. But I wonder if it's because Cole's got that really nasty concussion. But then he's got a match with Jimmy Jacobs a couple days after this. So, like you said, I'm assuming this probably wasn't the original plan, but hey, I could see Michael Elgin and I could see Jay Briscoe on my TV screen or on my laptop screen. So, yeah, and like I said, it's really weird because, I mean, Steen lost the belt in April, and he's not gotten his rematch. So I guess Ring of Honor does not do the automatic rematch clause. Them sons of bitches. But Will, our curtain jerker, which is actually kind of a 2-for-1, could have been a 3-for-1. First, we get Mike Posey versus Bobby Fish. And they talk about, so Posey's going to face Bobby Fish, and then Corey Hollis is going to fight Kyle O'Reilly. And if either of them win, Alabama Slam gets a title shot right afterwards.
And Alabama Slam says?
Isn't that their name?
Their Alabama Attitude.
Shit, it is Alabama Attitude. Fuck. You're right.
I don't have sound bites to play at you, but I'm sure they'd be funny.
One of these days, Will, we'll get a soundboard.
Stupid fucking question, Kevin.
good match. You know, Posey's a good foil for Fish here. Bobby Fish is being Bobby Fish, including a fake low blow. But in the end, Bobby hits that kick and basically knocks fucking, you know, Posey the fuck out, the former WWF ref. But then, you know, obviously Bobby Fish calls out Corey Hollis to fight Kyle O'Reilly. And like Posey, you know, Hollis is a good foil for Kyle O'Reilly. Even right off the bat, you know, doing a lot of counters with those sweet arm bars. So kudos to Hollis for that. Kicking out of that axe kick, which was fucking nasty. Then a Regalplex. But in the end, Hollis comes off the top rope into an arm bar, taps out quickly. So no tag champ match, but hopefully more. We see more of Alabama Slam / Alabama Attitude. Will, what'd you think of this?
I think it was all right. Bobby Fish coming off his only loss in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But Bobby, like, he works the crowd so much. And I love it. Like, he draws stuff out. He walks around with the mouth guard out. He's John with the other people in the ring. He's John with the crowd. Beats the piss out of this kid.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think Posey might be the only person on the roster older than Bobby Fish at this point, but... Yeah, I mean, they both look great. You know, it just like, I mean, we were texting about when you first watched this. It's like so we're not getting an actual title match. You know, it would be cool for one of them to sneak a win and then get a third match, but
I kind of thought, I almost thought that's what was going to happen. I'm like, well, are they going to have him like catch Kyle O'Reilly with like a roll up like real quick, and then it's like, all right, this is just going to go right into the, you know, tag match. But spoiler alert, I guess, for the next match, that don't happen.
No. So, but our next match, like Will refers, is two combatants that Will and I and my good friend Trent and Brendan watched go for 60 minutes in AAW around this time. So we got Michael Elgin versus Silas Young. I was pretty stoked to see this one. You know, and obviously Will, we've seen these two go at it before. You know, these two have got great chemistry, and this one was no different. Obviously, your typical Elgin, one-minute delayed suplex. But I do like talk about, because actually, honestly, Will, like, Nigel did a great job on commentary, really kind of filling in, like, the things that only wrestlers know. Like, I mean, Elgin had him up in that suplex, and he's talking how, well, yeah, cool, Silas is kicking his, you know, his legs like that, but he could get dropped on his fucking head. You know, and they do talk about Todd Sinclair's been celebrating 10 years as a ref. But in the end, you know, Silas misses misery into the back fist, buckle bomb, power bomb. Crowd was really in, was really into Elgin. So I think they did a good job of, obviously, they strapped the rocket to the fuck for this performance, like, glory by honor. But, you know, obviously we'd like to see this match go longer, but with the, you know, the format of the show. But I really enjoyed this. Will, what do you think?
I think this match was all right. It was nice to see someone kind of give Elgin a run for his money.
Yeah. I mean, knew he probably wasn't going to win.
Not as good as the Iron Man match.
No, that's you know, that's impressive. They went 60 minutes and kept their intention. And they, I mean, they also had a really good match at, obviously, you know, I'm partial, but, you know, in Milwaukee last July too. But definitely serviceable. This next fucking match, Will. Davey Richards versus ACH.
First time in Ring of Honor in singles action.
Wow.
These two men meet in singles action.
You know, Richards was a bit off. You can definitely see something's going on in his head. And he had frosted tips, so he dyed his hair. Well, that's fucking weird. You know, every time Richards hits that knee when someone's laying on the buckle, fucking hurts. But great back and forth. ACH capitalized on Davey going for strikes. In the end, a frenzy love ACH hitting the frog splash. But he can't cover right away because Davey worked on his ribcage and his core. But in the end, double stop off the top for the pin. Code of honor, but no mic time from Richards unless they had cut that off. But, you know, another match I wish they would have given another 5 minutes to. But, you know, seeing these two for the first time, hopefully we get to see more of these two in the future.
Great example of giving somebody the rub, but still coming out with a victory yourself.
Yeah.
That, because this match went longer than I thought it was going to.
Oh, really? Okay.
I thought Davey was going to make fairly short work of young ACH. Yeah. But we got all that great backstory, too, when talking about Davey going to Europe and Nigel's experience of, like, when you travel internationally, what do you bring back with you?
Yeah.
Talking about how ACH is at that point in his career now.
Mm-hmm.
That the Davey Richards that Nigel would have met was at. I mean, I'm always happy to have ACH.
Yeah. Please come back when you're healthy, ACH. You're still young. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and to think, I mean, this is just a fucking house show. I was like, Jesus. I mean, they really brought out the big funds for this fucking, you know, this show. So, but we talked about it earlier. But next match, Will, we've got Matt Taven versus the very young Adam Page.
It's for the TV title. Because every match is for the TV title.
Because Truth Martini says Matt Taven only wrestles good if he's wrestling for the title. You know, Taven's coming on the longest TV title, but Kevin Kelly puts over, you know, and honestly, he's not wrong. Adam Page is having a pretty solid year.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he gets over, you know, the hump with the Hangman gimmick, but, you know, I mean, he's had good matches with Roddy. He had, you know, some classics with Silas. You know, this is another example. You know, Jay Lethal's on the call. I forgot to mention your favorite. So
yes, Jay Lethal's on the call because he is going to be in a four-corner survival match for the number one contendership to the TV title, where every match you're the contender by default.
Yeah. But I do love, you know, Lethal's, like, you know, when he asked Kevin Kelly how long Taven's had the belt, and then before he could answer, he's like, well, too long. But I actually texted you about this. I don't know if you knew this is what I meant, but goddamn, that fucking power bomb on the goddamn guardrail. Oof.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Yeah, because there was not a lot of room on the outside in this venue. I'm glad both were okay. Yeah, in the end, you know, Paige missed a leapfrog into the climax DDT for the win. You know, some interference, surprise, surprise, but, you know, honestly, Will, I mean, mostly it was all Taven, I thought, so.
Taven looked good at one point. Adam Page dove to the outside, take out Truth Martini.
Yeah. Truth, for a manager, does take some good whoopings. Obviously, we both know he's a former worker, probably slash kind of current worker. I mean, he could probably work right now at this point in his career if he wanted, but I don't know if he had a neck injury or anything, but yeah, another fun match.
And I did appreciate that Jay Lethal talks about how he's like, I can't believe he's falling for these mind games, but he's like, I know I've done it too, but he's like, it's different when you're sitting and you're watching it than when you're in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously Lethal's, you know, had his quote-unquote run-ins with Scarlett. We'll just put it that way, you know, being polite and all, so. But Will, next match. One of our personal, actually two of our personal favorites, was Jimmy Jacobs versus Roderick Strong. And Jimmy Jacobs is 2-2 in his best of five match. You know, and they do point out that Roddy does not shake his hand at the beginning of the match. You know, no one's been shaking Jacobs' hand, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. So, and our former friend here, Mr. BJ Whitmer's on the call. Well, Jimmy Jacobs was born in 1984. I mean, up to this point, he's already lived a full fucking career. He's kind of like fucking Rocky Romero. But these two have great chemistry. You know, we talk about it all the time. Jacobs is great at using his size. Obviously, 99 times out of 100, he's the smaller guy in the match, unless he's wrestling Grizzly Redwood. But he always makes it look so believable. And I do love, you know, that leg scissors, you know, airplane leg scissors thing he always does. You know, it was really kind of cool to see the optic of, you know, Whitmer being at ringside, you know, with the great back and forth and him just getting really excited for all the near falls and everything. But in the end, Jimmy Jacobs hits a great slice of bread off the top rope for the win. Great match. BJ Whitmer's great on commentary. You know, he did a great job of adding to the match, unlike, you know, distracting from it, like we talked about before. And Roddy finally gives him the code of honor. So Jimmy Jacobs gets his title shot in Grand Rapids. What do you think, Will? Yeah, so I mean, this was fun. So I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's a great story there with Jimmy and everything. So we will see what happens from there. But next, we've got a four corner survival match. Where Maria comes out and she has a statement, and basically her statement is her intent is to end Kevin Steen's career, and Bennett will no longer be in this match. Before we jump into this three-way, Will, Got any fun anecdotes for this three-way match? Or anything about Jacobs and Roddy? As I totally, you know, blew by you.
Well, it wasn't whole your fault since the internet dropped out.
Oh, I was trying.
I just popped back too.
I was trying to cover for you, Will.
I really liked that match. I didn't love the ending, admittedly. You kind of knew that he was going to get the win, but part of me would have rather, like, I was thinking that it was going to be like Roddy gets the win. And then Jacobs doesn't get the title match, but he gets the handshake.
Yeah. Yeah, because Nigel's been doing, I mean, he's saying, yes, he's got to win, you know, 3 out of 5, but he's saying, can he wrestle with honor? So he's been really pushed. There was definitely, I thought there was a chance Roddy could win this match.
I mean, that sick kick. And stuff like where he does like the knees in the corner, but he's turned around. So it's like your knees into like the lower back and not.
Yeah.
But the early on too, I really like the spot where, again, I'm sorry if you brought this up. Well, I had no ears. When they're on the outside and Jacobs runs at Roddy, he like leapfrogs over him and Jacobs runs into the barricade.
Yeah.
See, I thought, you know, I thought this was going to go for a bit. Maybe Jacobs loses, but he gets the handshake, right? Maybe Roddy offers him the hand, then like Mr. ROH is offering the hand as a sign. Because even the handshake at the end felt kind of like wonky. It felt kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a handshake. It's like, yeah. It was a really good match.
Yeah. So, and Jimmy Jacobs gets his title shot. So,
in his home. Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah. Is it Grand Rapids? I think it's Grand Rapids, I think, which is literally his hometown. I could be wrong, though.
So those are my thoughts on that. My thoughts on Taven being out. When I heard this, I'm like, oh, so Taven's not there.
You mean Bennett?
Or Bennett, yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Something happened and Bennett's not there. That's why he's not in the match. But they're going to be like, oh, he's got eyes on like a loftier goal. We're going to end Steen's career. It's like, yes, because if you want to be the top of the card, you give up title opportunities to fight somebody else. Like, that doesn't really make sense, but it is pro wrestling.
It is. But, you know, it's randomly Mark Briscoe, Tommaso Ciampa, and Jay Lethal for the number one contender for the TV title. And I believe they will be wrestling at Final Battle, I believe. And obviously, Matt Taven's out on the call. I mean, it makes sense. He's the TV champion. He should be out there to distract. And honestly, you know, sometimes these three ways sometimes can get a little wonky. But I thought all three of these guys did a great job of getting their shit in at different times. You know, great chemistry with everybody. Lethal's going for the lethal injection after he tells everybody, you know, signs it on the internet, tells everybody. Taven gets on the apron. So Lethal dives out onto Taven, beats him up, all while Ciampa and Mark do things, including those goddamn, you know, I'm sure he's probably not hitting him as hard as he looks to, but goddamn, those fucking trapezius chops that fucking Mark does, the National Treasure, woof! But Mark goes for a leg scissors, but Ciampa reverses it into a Project Ciampa, and Will, Tommaso Ciampa is going to Final Battle, the battle for that TV title. Didn't think it was going that way.
It's very interesting.
We'll
see if they actually capitalize on it or something.
Yeah. In the end, Lethal leaves, but Taven follows. But Lethal scares him back in the ring. And then, Ciampa lays him out. And then Ciampa and Lethal both eye the belt while Taven's laying down there. So, well done. Yeah, definitely not what I was expecting. So, any more thoughts on that one, Will?
No, I'll say it was nice to have Taven on the call, right? He's healing it up. He's like, oh, the only person would be like a worthy competitor would be is if they could clone me and I could give myself the best match possible. And it's just the comment about like, oh, Mark lost some teeth. Oh, no, it's just the way he always looks like.
Cheap heat, but well done.
You know, us people from Derry, New Hampshire know how to run down an opponent on commentary.
Yeah. Well done. I mean, listen, you know, I don't know what my vitriol for Matt Taven. I mean, even here, he's, you know, obviously the whole, you know, sex scenes in the ring thing kind of get obnoxious, but he's really fucking good.
I want to say I have a vitriol, but when I started watching dabbling in Ring of Honor, I'm like, I remember the name Matt Taven, but I would not have expected him to be the one that like became the megastar, basically.
Yeah, former Ring of Honor champ. I was in the building when that happened. And I was pissed. But whatever. I mean, I was a big villain fan. I thought it was time to pull the trigger on Marty Scurll, but whatever. Obviously, you know, life happens, and life proved that it was the right call. But our main event, Will, Kevin Steen versus Jay Briscoe. Jay, we miss you. Mark, you are still a national treasure. Glad you're back on TV, even though I'm not watching that bullshit Ring of Honor. But like we talked about earlier, you know, the winner of this match will be inserted into the main event randomly. But Adam Cole comes out and he ain't sweating a triple threat, as he is the best and he will be on commentary. But Will, if either Steen or Brisk Jay touch Adam Cole, they are suspended.
They're taking concussions very seriously.
Yeah. Briscoe says some naughty words to Cole, which I thought was funny. You know, Jay just does not have a filter. I just love every time he goes off like that. You know, and Steen, once again, just making jokes. But Nigel comes out on the call, and Cole's just kind of standing out there talking lots of shit, lots of chaos, some interference from Cole to Jay. But in the end, Steen package pile drives Jay. But Maria interferes, more fuckery. Unfortunately, Will, you did not get your package pile driver on Maria like you were hoping for. Jay gets two Jay drillers, and Jay's in the main event. So the match itself, Will, I was kind of eh. As definitely you can see by my lack of notes.
Obviously, it was okay.
Yeah, the fuckery didn't help. You know, from Cole and everyone being distracted. But obviously Jay's been out, so he's got some ring rust here. But lots of stuff happens in the end. Obviously Adam Cole gets in the ring, him and Jay get a little chesty, but then Elgin comes out, almost clocks Jay with a quote-unquote real title. Eventually Jay and Elgin fight, split up by Nigel, gets between them, they walk back, and Steen drags Maria to the ring. Almost package pile drives, but security grabs her. Then he pretty much package pile drives everybody in the ring, which I thought was hilarious. And at the time when he grabbed the mic, he was like interviewing the one kid. He's like, oh, you know, what he's, I got my notes here. Damn, fucking computer. He goes and one kid is knocked out, and he's just talking about how eloquently, and it tells Maria that he's coming for Bennett and all that good stuff. So, main event was definitely kind of, the schmozzy stuff at the end, but all in all, good show.
It had the potential to be something that blew the door off the place. But when we got to the main event and I saw how much time was left, I'm like, oh, we're not going to get. What these guys are really capable of, like what a match between them could have been. But it was fine. You know, they're both incredibly talented. There's great stuff on both ends. The J drillers at the end were a little sloppy looking.
Yeah, which
might have been on Steen, right? Because the legs didn't come up all the way when he was upright. So it was fun. It was fine. Just I would say a touch underwhelming.
Yeah.
Given who's involved.
You know, a lot of good action, some good stories, you know, forwarded and everything. So I just hope that, you know, we actually get some TV tapings here. But, you know, I guess we'll find out what matches we're getting on TV. But, yeah, it's better than it's been.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely been better than it's been. It's a neat little wrinkle, right? Adam Cole can't be touched, but he can sit there and he can nitpick and he can poke and poke and poke. But there's no brawl between Elgin and Briscoe. They get a little shovey, but no brawl actually breaks out.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
And then Steen runs in, chasing Maria. And what a nice homage to 2012. Just starts package pile driving everybody in the ring, refs, ring crew.
You know, but it's just tough because he literally just took two J drillers. So it's like, and now he's just up running around beating everybody up. But
I mean, it was two J drillers, but I mean, neither one of them, he really got him like all the way up.
Yeah. That's a fuck of a move, man. If you fuck that up, he can kill somebody.
Well, that's probably why they did it the way they did, because he's like, I probably can't lift you upright.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a bump shoulder, probably. I'm assuming that was the real injury, so. Yeah. But, Will, I'm glad you enjoyed. I enjoyed also. We will have more great content for everybody next week with Ring of Honor, Revelry, episode 100. Hard to imagine.
100.
Can't believe Will's put up with me for this long. So, yeah, will we be reviewing another show? I don't have to off the top of my head here. In Ring of Honor episode TV 114. But send us those questions, comments, you know, anything you want to send us and all that good stuff. So, but Will, before we pull this train in here to the proverbial station, got any final thoughts?
Nope. Thank you to our wives. Thank you to Visionaries Global Media and for the Shining Wizards Network for hosting the show. And thank you, Tom, for doing all the hard work.
I just press buttons and say shit into a laptop, so.
I just drink and say stuff and hope the internet doesn't give out, which, you know what? I got to say, you know, shouts out to the internet tonight. It only dropped out one time.
Yeah. So. But we're looking forward to when you guys finally make it out here to Wisconsin. But yeah, but I will see you in April in real life, but one way or another. But yeah, I'm getting tired, so I'm going to go read a book and go to bed. So I'll talk to you later.
What you reading?
I am currently reading the fifth book of the Dark Tower series, The Wolves of Kal-El. So I just started that. So I did finish Rawhide Down, the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, which is sounds something odd as Ronald Reagan's not my fan, but I did read it for my dad. You know, I mean, he did ask me to read it. So, and something we can discuss, you know, do a little bonding. And I'm just very thankful, you know, my dad's not in the best shape, but I'm just thankful that he's still able to, you know, have this conversation. So. You know, we may not get along the best.
To be honest with you, my dad has never recommended me a book, so.
Really?
My dad is not a book person.
See, my dad's a, yeah, it's, I definitely get, the two things I've learned most from my dad are, well, besides bar fights, is walking and reading, for sure. So, yeah, so when we do breakfast, we're actually, I mean, we go to the library and read for a couple hours and just hang out and read books, so.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I'm just thankful I have a dad to do that with. So, but yeah, what are you reading right now, Will? I mean, obviously you got those 6 million comic books, but are you reading?
I have an endless stack of comics that I'm trying to chip away at, organizing them as I go. Still making good progress. It's been slower progress because I haven't my work hours hasn't given me like the big chunk of time in the morning where I was really reading, taking advantage of that. But I'm still making some progress there on that. And then, honestly, the next thing I might dip into is I might dabble in a little nonfiction next, I think.
Nice.
I've got a couple things. I might dip into I have a book on the shelf called 8-Bit Apocalypse, which is about the development of Missile Command. That's one of my favorite video games.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I got to dig into some of the books that you recommended for and the ones you sent me too. So, but actually, speaking of nonfiction, my book after this, though, is Don't Call Me Chico, the Tito Santana autobiography, which is it's supposed to be fantastic. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that one. So,
and you got your Bret Hart book.
Well, I will be ordering it, yeah. I'm going to wait till I get through the Dark Tower series before I actually buy any new books, which obviously has not happened because I bought a bunch of books on my trip, but it's in the queue. It will be in the queue, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that Blood and Fire book, that original Sheik story, and then this book called Marching Powder. It's about Bolivian prisons. What else am I ordering? Book about Public Enemy, the hip-hop group. What other one am I going to order? Oh, Lenny Bruce out of... Shit.
How to Shit.
Not How to Shit, but How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then I got George Carlin book coming up, so... Yeah, a lot of nonfiction. Nice. So, all right, well, I'm really pulling train at the station, Will, unless you got anything else.
Choo choo, motherfucker.
That should be that, dude. That's our new sign off every week, Will. That's our new thing. So that's absolutely. I will. I'll talk to you next week, my friend.
It's all fun games, so I'll get a whistle.
All right. Later, dude.
Later.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.